15%.
There was on the news radio, Senate Appropriations Committee approving legislation for a new state budget of $8 billion, but there's cuts in education, health care, and some social services.
Dismantling the public sector in the name of budgetary savings harms our state's ability to emerge from this recession and diminishes us further.
Tempe police arrest 22-year-old Tiberius Foster. He's accused of public sexual indecency.
Foster committed an indecent exposure at the Tempe City Library on February 10th when he exposed himself to a library employee.
Tucson police arrest 4 suspects in connection with a series of home invasion robberies and more.
Given that these suspects are not only associated with home invasion robbery situations, they're also involved in the sale of illicit drugs as well as the sale of firearms.
Many questions, a fight outside a bar, several people in custody, a man fatally run over with a van.
Unfortunately, the gentleman on foot died as a result of his injuries.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by 99 Cents Only Store, southbound on the FEMA right at Via de Ventura. You're going to find a collision there. Shea Boulevard east of Frank Lloyd Wright has an accident also. And Irish eyes are a-smiling with St. Patrick's Day decorations and wearables on sale now for just 99.99 cents each. Shop 99 Cents Only Stores first for St. Patrick's Day. And from the KFNX Traffic Center, I'm Wayne Allen.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We're looking for that gradual cool down now into our weekend. Tomorrow, 88. Friday, 84. Then there's a bigger change into the weekend with the passage of the California cold front. Saturday, 76. And Sunday, partly cloudy, 72. Jim Howell, KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 89 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. And when it breaks here on KFNX Newstalk Radio, 1100.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is trying to sneak out of a really boring meeting wearing tap shoes a bad idea?
Sales growth has increased 2.9%. That's a reflection of aggressive... Ben, where are you going?
Nowhere. Headed back to my seat now.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're gonna have to trust me on this one.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchick.
Well, good afternoon. It's 4:06, and it's Dennis Willinchick, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm your host, and you're listening, as you heard, to Legalese. We're here to talk about the law, current legal issues. I'm here to answer any questions you may have if you want to call in. Our number is 602-277-KFNX. I've been a trial lawyer here in downtown Phoenix for over 33 years, specializing in commercial civil litigation and other types of litigation. And we have so much going on in the news today that it's hard to know where to begin. But one of the stories that obviously we can't ignore is the Jared Loughner matter, which, of course, we hear about every day. But one of the things that troubles me about the whole Loughner incident that we'll get into in this program is, how did this happen? We touched on this last week briefly in last week's show. How did somebody walk around the streets as long as he did and go to school and community college and not be detected? Obviously living with his parents, so he wasn't independent. But how does that happen? How do we allow somebody like this to walk the streets and not be found out and not be committed? So this week we're going to begin with an update on the Loughner trial. And then we'll have our guest, Mark Holleran, who will be with us to talk about some of these issues. I'll introduce him in a few minutes. But Jared Lee Loeffner pleaded not guilty a week ago last Wednesday to a new federal indictment that charges him with 49 crimes. Loeffner is charged with the murder of six people, as you know, including 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green and United States District Judge, Chief Judge John M. Roll. He's charged with the attempted murder of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and two other members of her staff who were shot multiple times but are recovering, and, of course, other people as well who were at the unfortunate scene. At the hearing held this past week, U.S. District Court Judge Larry Burns from San Diego granted a motion by federal prosecutors for a competency hearing, and that hearing is scheduled for May 25th. Some of the survivors from the January 8th shooting spree were present at last Wednesday's hearing. Mr. Loeffner, wearing a tan prisoner's jumpsuit, smiled as he entered the courtroom under heavy security, and throughout the hearing he sat back casually in his chair. I guess with that trademark smirk we've come to know from watching him on TV. When asked if Jared Lee Loeffner was his real name, he answered loudly, "Yes, it is." Susan Heilman, who brought 9-year-old shooting victim Christina Taylor Green to the January 8th court event, sat just a few feet behind Loeffner in a wheelchair. Prosecutors argued that evidence about Loeffner's state of mind obtained from videos he posted on YouTube before the shootings raised serious questions about his competency to stand trial. The videos and other evidence show that Loeffner apparently believed he was being bugged by the CIA and had an extreme distrust of judges and the government as well. Loeffner's attorney, Judy Clark, argued against the competency hearing, calling it, quote, premature, close quote. She said that the response that the court would get would be very unreliable at this stage. But Judge Burns signed off on the motion anyway, remarking that, quote, I have some concerns about whether he, that is Loeffner, is fully understanding the proceedings that are before him. Now, in addition to setting the May 25th hearing, the judge directed attorneys to confer on a proper venue, possibly San Diego. The attorneys must decide who will evaluate the accused. But obviously the court is concerned about whether or not someone like Jared Loeffner truly understands what's going on. And, again, that's the topic of today's show. So, would getting Jared Loeffner committed have prevented the Tucson shootings? And how do you commit someone under Arizona law? We'll be talking about these topics throughout the first half hour. But the Loeffner case has made me wonder, what could we have done to prevent all of this? Couldn't somebody have gotten Loeffner committed before he was able to shoot 18 people outside of a Safeway in Tucson? According to news reports, Jared Loeffner never received any mental health treatment of any kind, despite the fact police were called five times when Loeffner disrupted classrooms at Pima Community College. School officials did send him a letter apparently saying that he needed a mental health evaluation before he could return to class, but the college had no further contact with him afterwards. The irony here from a legal standpoint is that under Arizona law, it's actually easier to have somebody committed than in any other state in the country. In every state, including Arizona, a person can be committed if he threatens to cause physical harm to himself or others. But Arizona is the only state that also allows people to be committed if they are, quote, persistently or acutely disabled, close quote. That's different than any other state. This is a broad standard that Arizona has adopted that includes anyone who is likely to suffer any kind of harm due to a mental illness. The only catch is that they have to be unable to decide to commit themselves, and the illness has to be treatable. Now, the process of getting someone committed can be started by anyone, including a relative, a friend, a colleague, or a law enforcement official. Part of the process involves a 72-hour evaluation of the person. So even if somebody doubted whether they could get someone like Loeffner committed, obviously they could have at least had him evaluated, including his parents, including teachers. Why is it no one noticed any of this? How could it possibly be that someone this deranged could be walking the streets and have no place legitimate to go? And when he does go home, how is it his parents don't notice what's going on, that there's something odd going on? Why couldn't anyone see this coming? Now, one of the problems we have before we talk to our guest here today, who is Mark Holleran, the director of Central Arizona Shelter Services, who's been good enough to come down and talk to us, who deals with these issues all day long. But one of the things that we have as a problem in the law If the court has a hearing and does determine that someone is a danger to himself or danger to others and is persistently or acutely disabled or gravely disabled, if the court finds by clear and convincing evidence, which under the law is the highest legal standard that you have to prove something, short of beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the criminal standard, if the court finds by clear and convincing evidence, which is the same standard used to prove, for example, fraud cases civilly, that the patient is suffering a mental disorder and meets one or more of the four criteria, that is, a danger to himself or others, persistently or acutely disabled or gravely disabled, the court may enter an order or should enter an order for treatment. But the length and terms will vary. At the expiration of the court-ordered treatment, the patient may be unconditionally released by the treating agency, and if further inpatient treatment is indicated, the patient must be repetitioned. The process outlined here that we're talking about must be repeated. So due to the chronic nature of many mental illnesses, patients do not always stay in treatment or even get better. That's the, quote, revolving door stereotype of the mental health treatment system. Now, we talked about how even if Jared Loughner was committed, he would have spent only perhaps 2 days in a hospital for evaluation. And after that, where would he have gone? Most mental health outpatients have nowhere to go and become homeless. In fact, statistics show that over 40 to 50% of the homeless are mentally ill or are former mental health patients, many of whom commit petty crimes and wind up in jail for having no place to go. So homelessness obviously is a big problem here in Phoenix, has been for some time. We've asked Mark Holleran, the director of Central Arizona Shelter Services, to be with us. Welcome to studio, Mark. And why don't you tell our listening audience, basically, first of all, what is Central Arizona Shelter Services and what it does, basically?
Well, Dennis, thank you for inviting me today. Central Arizona Shelter Services, also known as CAS, has been around since 1984, and it provides emergency shelter and supportive services to homeless men, women, and children. During the course of a year, we serve somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000 to 6,000 unduplicated men, women, and children. And our numbers are up these days. The population that we serve, typically single adult male, about a quarter of them we believe to be seriously mentally ill. Somewhere in the neighborhood of a third of the population we serve have correctional backgrounds. We guesstimate that somewhere around 50% plus are dealing with some sort of substance use or abuse issue. And so these are all challenges that can sort of mount up.
Now, we obviously know that most homeless people aren't violent, right? I mean, that's obviously speculation. But we can assume that most homeless people aren't inherently violent. They're just looking for a place to stay. But what happens when they are violent? What happens when there are signs of this kind of thing? What can you do about this?
Well, we provide training to our staff to address situations, to de-escalate situations, to not let it get to a point that it explodes. On the Human Services campus where we're now located, we have security staff that are always on premises. And then to top that off, we have an excellent working relationship with the City of Phoenix Police Department. And so when we are ultimately concerned about the safety of our staff and the safety of the individual involved and the safety of our other clients, then we do get police there to act immediately.
Now, that's obviously as to people who wind up in your homeless shelter. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what happens to those people that don't make it in and how is it that they don't get in. But basically, you can only allow so many people in it, obviously, correct?
That is correct. Over the last several years, the downtown facility currently houses about 440 men and women a night. Back in July of 2005, we had, during that month, very, very hot weather, which we do in the summer, but very, very hot weather at night. And about 30 people, homeless people, died in that month.
Yeah.
And so we opened what we call an overflow shelter. And so additionally, we've been housing approximately 300 additional homeless men each night. And then since then, during the winter when it gets below a certain temperature or during the summer when it goes up above a certain temperature, we open facilities that typically aren't set up for housing, but allow people to get in off the street. So there are times when we will house up to 1,000 homeless men and women at just the downtown facility.
Wow. And obviously that's not all the people that are out there. So when we come back, we're going to continue talking about not only the Loughner incident, but homelessness in general, people who have mental illness problems and are out there. So stay with us. This is KFNX. Dennis Wolinchek will be right back.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
The Winners Hulk Festival is back!
Huzzah!
Weekends now through April 3rd.
You love the Winners Hulk Festival!
Great shopping! A giant crafts market!
That festival is so awesome!
Welcome to the Renaissance Festival!
New shows! Non-stop feasting! The Renaissance Festival is back! Weekends now through April 3rd! Special savings from discount coupons from Hall of Frames, Ariba's Mexican Grill, and Phoenix Flower Shops while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, both AlloCaps and Liver Complex are on special. AlloCaps promote healthy immune and adrenal function, while Liver Complex provides broad-spectrum detoxification and liver support and may be used with immune support products such as AlloCaps. Do a little spring cleaning with AlloCaps and Liver Complex. Buy two bottles of either special product and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
This is Dennis Wolinchek, and we're here back at KFNX Talk Radio, News Talk Radio 1100. Our number here is 602-277-KFNX. That's 5369, 277-5369 if you want to call. We're talking about and have been talking with Mark Holleran, who's the head of a shelter service here in Phoenix and Central Arizona Shelter Services. And we've been talking about generally the problem of the homeless, the fact that there are numerous people who are homeless who have mental illnesses. Mark, would you estimate that around 40 to 50% of homeless people suffer from mental illness, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Many years ago, yes. We estimate now that about 25% of the population that we serve probably are dealing with those issues. Inherently, one part of the problem is that the average shelter stay is under 40 days. So it's very difficult for us. It's sort of like an ER. You deal with the emergency issue, but there may be many, many other health conditions that have to be dealt with, but you don't deal with that in the ER. Well, similar to the emergency shelter, there may be many, many lifelong issues, but our job is to stabilize as soon as we can and then move them out and plug them into the larger systemic efforts that are available so that they can move forward and become self-sufficient.
What about problem with people losing their homes, during the recession, foreclosures? Is that, do you think, contributed to some of this problem?
We have seen just a little bit of that because historically, if someone loses their house, they have families, they have support networks that when they lost their job or whatnot, they had resources and places that they could go. Most of the population that we serve, they don't have that support network, and so they come to us. They come looking for that sort of family unit.
Let me ask you this. When you deal with this problem every day now as part of your responsibilities, do you think there are more Jared Loughners out there from what you see every day?
I would say probably there are many people out there that are living a day-to-day existence, and I'm not a medical trained individual, but we have seen specific instances where something happened that set someone off, and many times we never know.
Have you had, for example, at your shelter situations occur that?
We have. I mean, we do call the police in on a relatively frequent basis to interact. We had spoken earlier about a couple of years ago when one of our staff members was murdered by one of our clients. And to this day, the documentation and all the interactions that we had documented with this client indicated that he was moving along, that he was making an effort to become self-sufficient, and something happened, and my job as the CEO is to fix things, and we never figured out what that was that broke down.
So somebody like that, let's just take that as a good example, or bad example, I guess, but reality is somebody like that would not necessarily be committed because there'd be no reason to know that this person was being a danger to themselves or others or persistently or acutely disabled or gravely disabled as the law provides. So it would have been probably futile if you had tried to do that.
It would be very difficult. Most of our clients will ask, do you have any behavioral health issues? No. Do you have any substance abuse issues? No. And so this denial is part of the process. And so if a client stays with us 90 to 120 days, we usually get an opportunity to see their behaviors, interact with them. If they're there for 30 days, yeah, it's very, very difficult to make that determination.
Now, let me just ask you when the problem with homelessness, in your opinion, started in downtown Phoenix. When do you think it really mushroomed the way it is today?
Back in the 60s and 70s, when the city fathers and mothers were talking about urban renewal and how do we revitalize the downtown, they brought in, I would assume, the urban planners and made very appropriate decisions to move forward. But what they did is they tore down, and we have documented 30-something old motel hotels that they tore down. These were $2, $3, $4, $5 a night places. What that was permanent housing for, we estimate, somewhere between 3,000 to 4,000 people. Well, that was torn down, but unfortunately that was never replaced.
Right.
And so those folks were told to move out. And then
and your facility really can only house, as you said, a few hundred.
Yes. And then over time, we deinstitutionalized many individuals. And so they were put out onto the streets. You get a concentration of individuals, especially in the Valley of the Sun. And with the absence of any sort of regional plan to end homelessness, this sort of created the perfect storm for the downtown area.
So where exactly is your shelter located?
It's located at basically 12th Avenue in Madison.
And are there other similar shelters that houses people in a similar way?
There are other shelters in Phoenix and the surrounding communities. We are the state's largest shelter. And
so let's just say the downtown area in general, where you see, we all go down there and see people walking the streets with carts and so forth. Everybody's seen that. These people have no place to go. So what do? Do they just show up at your doorstep and say, we have no place to go, take us in?
They do find us. The police department will bring them to our doorway. We have outreach teams and other service providers that we deal with have outreach teams that either can be called, or as people are out driving around, we see and we engage people, and then we attempt to encourage them to come to the campus to get help.
But I assume that your shelter is pretty full.
It is very full.
I mean, it doesn't have the capacity to hold the number of people that want to be in there?
Not from a residential standpoint, but what we try to do is get them engaged in some level of services. Mm-hmm. So we can provide, if nothing else, medical care. And say if you come back tomorrow, we can provide food. If you keep coming back, we can provide clothing. And then at that point, if they want to take those next steps, then we can get them into the process of getting into the shelter.
So is there a reason why someone who's walking the streets that we may see at night downtown, for example, is there a reason they need to be doing that? In other words, is there sufficient capacity every night for the people that are walking the streets to basically have a place to go?
There aren't enough beds.
Right.
There just aren't enough beds.
Yeah, let me ask you this: What can an ordinary citizen do about this? This shelter, for example, I assume, is it a private enterprise?
We're a private 501c3 organization, and what I would recommend to your listeners is that homelessness can be a very chronic problem, and people get very upset and frustrated. What you can do is call the non-emergency police number if you see a situation that you are concerned about and ask the police to conduct a wellness check. And the police will come out, and all the officers in our precinct have specific behavioral health training. So they know how to diffuse a situation, and their first response isn't to arrest someone, but to figure out how can we engage them in more productive services. Okay. And by making that wellness call, then you can start that process whereby we can identify someone and start to get them plugged in.
Okay, quickly before the break, can you tell us how a citizen who wants to help can contribute, donate money or other resources?
Well, we have a website, casaz-az.org. If someone's interested, call me, 602-256-6963. That's my direct line. I'd be happy to visit with you. We need everybody's wealth, wit, and wisdom in order to deal with this issue.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. This is Dennis Wolinchek, KFNX, News Talk Radio. Thank you, Mark. Number 277-KFNX.
I'm Steve Malzberg. Listen to me from 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon on the 50,000-watt Voice of the Valley, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100, Phoenix.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. The head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says conditions at the Fukushima nuclear plant are far worse than the Japanese have acknowledged. CNN's Tom Foreman reports U.S. regulators believe the number 4 reactor is creating a severe radiation risk.
They believe the water has now drained out of there. If it has in fact drained out of there, what you're talking about is a level of radiation coming off those rods that can make within 50 to 100 yards in all directions, depending on what shielding might be between you and the source, fatal doses of this coming out.
The Obama administration is urging Americans to keep at least 50 miles away. Concerns in Japan weighed on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 242 points. Police from around the world have arrested more than 180 suspected child offenders in a 3-year probe. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Senate Appropriations Committee approving legislation for a new state budget of $8 billion, but there's cuts in education, health care, and some social services.
Dismantling the public sector in the name of budgetary savings harms our state's ability to emerge from this recession and diminishes us further.
Tempe police arrest 22-year-old Tiberius Foster. He's accused of public sexual indecency.
Foster committed an indecent exposure at the Tempe City Library on February 10th when he exposed himself to a library employee.
Tucson police arrest 4 suspects in connection with a series of home invasion robberies and more.
Given that these suspects are not only associated with home invasion robbery situations, they're also involved in the sale of illicit drugs as well as the sale of firearms.
Many questions, a fight outside a bar, several people in custody, a man fatally run over with a van.
Unfortunately, the gentleman on foot died as a result of his injuries.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Citizens Clean Election Commission. Eastbound on the Papago right at 43rd Avenue, there is a fender bender right in the median. Highland and 20th Street has an accident, so to southbound on the Black Canyon right at Greenway. Clean Elections provides more voices and more choices in the state's political process. Get involved and help shape the future of Arizona. Visit cleanelections101.com.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We're looking for that gradual cool down now into our weekend. Tomorrow, 88. Friday, 84. Then there's a bigger change into the weekend with the passage of the California cold front. Saturday, 76. And Sunday, partly cloudy, 72. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 89 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
IronDriveCoatings.com is offering 10% off right now for KFNX listeners. IronDriveCoatings.com, your valley-wide specialist for lifetime guaranteed epoxy and urethane coating of garages and driveways. Visit IronDriveCoatings.com or call 480-726-1891. Mention KFNX and receive a 10% discount off this beautiful lifetime guaranteed granite-like coating. Own a business? Ask about commercial application as well. That's 480-726-1891. IronDriveCoatings.com.
Coming up this week on The Kevin Trudeau Show.
This week, the star of Ancient Aliens, a TV show on the History Channel, Giorgio Tsoukalos, stops by the show. He's going to be talking about the facts, the evidence that aliens from other planets did, in fact, visit Earth. And also, make sure you listen because you're going to find out why it's always all about the money.
Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. on News Talk Radio 1100, KFNX.
Afraid of high car repair bills? Would a $4,500 engine replacement hurt your savings?
Just a little?
Cover America Auto wants to give you a free quote on peace of mind protection. If your car breaks down, we'll pay the repair shop on covered repairs directly. No waiting for reimbursement. No hassle. If you're driving without coverage or if your warranty is about to expire, call us. You can trust you will be protected. Our claims department has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau with 50 years of dependability.
I just brought my car in, had the transmission replaced, and they paid the bill.
Plus, our direct-to-the-public rates can save you thousands off of what dealers may charge. Call for your free, no-obligation quote now at 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793. 24-hour roadside assistance and rental cars included on most plans. Don't wait. Call for your free quote now, 800-681-1793, 800-681-1793.
And this is Dennis Wolinchek. It's Legalese with Dennis Wolinchek at KFNX, News Talk Radio, 1100. Our number here is 277-KFNX, 5369. I am a trial lawyer in Phoenix, Arizona, and our topic for today has been, of course, the Jared Loughner case, and how is it that Jared Loughner is out there walking the streets for all those years without anybody detecting that he has a problem? Had he been walking the streets like many homeless, would he have been committed or wouldn't he have been committed? And this is a topic of grave concern to all of us. I mean, we all can walk the streets and realize after a basketball game or whatever, we go downtown and we see the homeless walking the streets. Who knows that some of them are not violent? And where do they go at night? What do they have to look forward to? Where do they go? What do they do? Well, we talked with Mark Holleran, who is the head of CASS, Central Arizona Shelter Services, in our first half hour about the issue. And, of course, they're pretty well stretched. So what does the system have to offer in regard to placing people of mental illnesses in facilities to help them? As you know, many people in this category commit petty crimes to just find their way to jail to try to get some kind of help, to get some kind of medication, for example, and so they wind up being picked up by the police for disorderly conduct or other such petty crimes, having no place really to go to help them. It's one thing to be without shelter. It's another thing to be without treatment, and that's the big issue. And, you know, what happens after you get someone committed? What happens after you get someone committed? Well, according to experts, even if Jared Loughner, for example, had been committed, he would have gone to a regular hospital and possibly would have been released in 2 days or less. Again, if he was not found to be a danger to himself or others and persistently or acutely disabled or gravely disabled. Many of these people, obviously, we can see in Jared Loughner were not found by anyone in all the years that he was walking around to be in this category. So it's a very difficult thing to prove in the court. And even when you do prove it in the court, the length and terms of the treatment or order for treatment will vary. And at the expiration of the time the court sets, which obviously will not be that long a period of time, you have this revolving door effect, as we talked about earlier, in the mental health treatment system. So when people are committed, they're typically sent to a regular hospital, as I said, that will try to stabilize them and give them medication, watch them for a couple of days, and then if they seem functional, send them on their way. The problem is that if someone like Jared Loughner was, quote, functional, enough to walk into a store, fill out papers to buy a Glock pistol, and he was obviously functional enough to probably get released from state custody even if he had been committed. And that's the scary part about all this. There may be people walking around right now in the same condition, walking zombies. This is because the state has nowhere to put these people, or insufficient space to put these people, and insufficient resources in this economy to deal with them. Obviously, it's all of our responsibility to deal with them, but how do you do that? You remember back when we were kids, when there were mental hospitals and mental asylums? We all used to probably even joke about it when we were younger, before we realized the severity of it. Whatever happened to those? In the 60s, it appears that states closed down many of these asylums, mental hospitals, or they were severely underfunded. Part of the reason was that psychiatrists like one Thomas Saas, S-A-A-S, argued that mental illness was a myth, that we didn't need asylums. But another bigger reason was that state mental hospitals took a huge chunk out of state budgets, making them an easy target for budget cuts. And, of course, that problem has stayed with us and lingered to this day. The Arizona State Legislature obviously cut mental health funding in Maricopa County by nearly $60 million in just the last 2 years. The county is strapped for funds as well in terms of devoting resources, notwithstanding court orders, to the mental health facilities and the jails. Tens of thousands of people were cut off from mental health services just last year. The trend continues and shows no signs of stopping. Governor Brewer just proposed additional budget cuts that will probably remove services for roughly another 5,200 people. So I ask, is it finally time to change this trend? Do we all have the responsibility to do something about this problem so that we don't have another disaster like happened in Tucson? Is it time to start rebuilding and building new mental asylums again? Now, there isn't anything wrong with locking up the mentally ill, is there? Isn't this the only way to keep someone like a Jared Lee Loeffner off the streets? Or do you think that mental illness is a myth and that mental asylums are a thing of the past? Well, that is a topic that if you have any interest in calling us up on, you can talk to us, KFNX, News Talk Radio, 277-KFNX. Let's go on in the time we have remaining to some other stories in the news, of the legal news. Here's a story that the federal authorities have arrested five in an alleged conspiracy to kill Alaska's chief U.S. District Court judge and family member. Obviously, we're all painfully familiar with the fact, as we just talked, that Judge Roll was gunned down in Tucson. But now authorities have arrested an Alaska couple and claim members of a group called the Sovereign Citizens Movement were involved, apparently, in an alleged plot to kill a federal judge and his family in Alaska. Ilani Vernon of Saltsha is the only suspect facing federal charges. He's accused of threatening to kill Chief U.S. District Judge Ralph Beislein in retaliation for his official duties, as well as a member of his family, according to the Anchorage Daily News and Fairbanks News Miner. Apparently, Vernon and his wife were involved since 2009 in a federal tax case that may result in the sale of their home to repay some $165,000 allegedly owed to the government. He's accused of making the threats he's charged with in retaliation for the judge's rulings in the couple's tax evasion case. He pleaded not guilty this morning in federal court in Fairbanks. His age is estimated to be 55 or 56. There were other suspects who are being pursued as well in this alleged plot as co-conspirators to commit murder and conspiracy to commit kidnapping and to commit arson, among other alleged crimes. The plot thickens. Authorities say the conspiracy involved a plan to also kidnap or kill state troopers, two of whom were reportedly under surveillance at their homes, according to the station. The articles don't reveal how the alleged plot was discovered. Very scary stuff, very scary. As I say, a lot of people walking the streets that maybe have no business walking the streets. Well, the Supreme Court, as you know, is in session, and there have been various decisions handed down. There were no oral arguments at the Supreme Court last week, but the court was busy issuing three opinions. They're pretty narrow and mostly of interest only to probably lawyers, so we won't dwell on them here. But it's clear that the court's priority this term is in trying to decide circuit splits or issues that the lower courts disagree about, where different courts disagree with one another. Next week, the court will hear arguments in a couple of cases that relate to the exclusionary rule, which is an evidentiary rule to prevent evidence from coming in where police obtain evidence through an illegal search or seizure, where the courts have found that that evidence cannot be used against the accused. A search and seizure is illegal generally if the police do it without probable cause or reasonable suspicion that you have committed a crime. This exclusionary rule is what is referred to when you hear lawyers talking about suppressing evidence. And in a case then pending, or now pending before the Supreme Court, Tolentino versus New York, the court will decide whether the court should suppress evidence, specifically Department of Motor Vehicle records that the police found the accused alleges after stopping his car without reasonable suspicion and asking his name. We're going to take a break shortly, and when we come back, we will be talking about this case as well as other cases that are before the courts of interest. This is Dennis Wilenchek, KFNX News Talk Radio, 277 KFNX. Please call us if you have any questions. We'll talk after the break.
The Lou Dobbs Show, returning this country to the American people, 1 hour at a time, Monday through Friday starting at 5, right here on KFNX, and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I know firsthand about the pressure to look my best and maintain a great smile at all times, and I'm in the radio business. Hi, this is Francis Battaglia, owner of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I want you to know that my dentist, Dr. Mark Espinoza, was voted 2010 Top Cosmetic Dentist in Arizona by his peers. Listen, if your smile is not looking as smart as you are, it's time to give Dr. Mark Espinoza at Central Dental Care a call. I've experienced power whitening, enjoyed pain-free dentistry, and a super friendly staff. Stop letting stained, crooked, or misaligned teeth chip away at your self-esteem. Give Central Dental Care a call at 602-943-7297. That's 602-943-7297, or log on to centraldentalcare.com. Mention KFNX and receive a $65 new patient experience for an exam, cleaning, and all needed x-rays. Again, call Dr. Mark Espinoza at Central Dental Care, 602-943-7297.
The largest RV sale of the year, March 17th through the 26th. It's the open house sale at Robert Kristen Company RV and Worldwide RV. Hundreds of RVs at low sale prices. Number one RV brands from $85 a month with approved credit. And Worldwide RV and Robert Kristen Company RV on Main Street in Mesa.
Well, this is Dennis Wilenchek. And this is KFNX News Talk Radio. Please join us if you want at 277-KFNX, 5369. Well, we're talking about issues in the law. Here's another interesting story. Quentin Tarantino, the famous director, suing his Oscar-winning screenwriter neighbor over his noisy macaws, claiming that the, quote, blood-curdling pterodactyl-like screams are stopping him from working on his latest film. Tarantino, as you know, is the former enfant terrible of Hollywood, living next to one Alan Ball, who won an Oscar for writing the 1999 movie American Beauty and also created the television series 6 Feet Under and True Blood. According to a 6-page lawsuit filed by Tarantino in Los Angeles, Ball and his partner, Peter McDissey, have installed, quote, an exotic bird menagerie, which has been driving the Pulp Fiction director to distraction for more than a year. Tarantino's complaint alleges that on a daily basis, the defendant's macaws, large tropical birds known for their loud squawks and screams, are placed in an outdoor aviary where they emit blood-curdling screams at random intervals for 7 to 8 hours a day. Sounds like some of Tarantino's movies. Nearly every day, Mr. Tarantino claims, he and others in his home are subjected to the macaw's obnoxious-like screams, which are not only startling but have also seriously disrupted his ability to work as a writer in his home. The defendants, he says, know that their birds issue these blood-curdling, prehistoric-sounding screams, though one might assume that as a fellow writer, Mr. Ball would understand and respect a writer's need for peace and quiet while he's working. That assumption, according to Tarantino, apparently is wrong. He claims that the relentless squawking is injurious to his health and offensive to his senses and interferes with his comfortable enjoyment of life. The director behind Reservoir Dogs and Glorious Bastards, Kill Bill, is currently said to be putting the finishing touches to a script for a Western, but he appears to have spared time of his famous creative energy to draft the noise complaint. In it, he quotes the German literary giant Johann Wolfgang von Goethe saying, quote, he is happiest, be king or peasant, who finds peace in his home. The director complains that he himself has been robbed of the ability to find that peace in his home. Well, interesting stories coming out of the news. We have a Tom in Scottsdale who wants to talk about the mental health issue that we've been talking about earlier in the show. Tom, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, what can we talk about?
Well, basically, I've been introduced to the mental health system in the past 2 years because of a family member.
Right.
And basically, it takes two people to get somebody picked up and pulled into a hospital for evaluation.
Right.
And I know you were talking about the incident in Tucson, and I know that talk has come up that he was irrational at college.
Right.
In the classroom and stuff like that. So if people were educated and knew that, let's say, the teacher and some staff or police or the guards on premises of the school, it would just take two of them to have a petition generated to have them picked up immediately.
Well, you know, according to news reports, Jared Loughner never received any mental health treatment of any kind, despite the fact that police were apparently called five times when he disrupted classrooms at Pima Community College.
Well, that's part of the problem. The teacher or the staff at the college or something are not aware of this. If they knew more of how the system works, unfortunately, like I have been introduced recently, if two people go down and petition them, say this is the person, this is how they're acting, and so forth, they would then come down and evaluate the person. A policeman would come down and pick up the person.
Well, you know,
take them to UPC or one of these hospitals, where then they would have to be evaluated by a psychiatrist.
Right, right.
And chances are the days that he was irrational in school or having problems or something, if he was such in a manic state or psychotic state, he would not have been able to pass a psychiatric evaluation at UPC or one of these facilities. I've had to petition a family member three times already,
yeah.
And as person has done tours in Annex 9 of the state hospital,
yeah.
As well as Desert Vista, two different occasions, until they stabilized the meds, and they spent about 6 weeks in that hospital until their meds were corrected for their disorder.
Well, let me stop you for a second. You know,
yeah.
the school officials, let's get back to the school officials. The school officials did apparently send Jared Loughner a letter saying that he needed a mental health evaluation before he could return to class, but unfortunately, apparently, from what we know, the college had no further contact with him, as you were saying afterwards. What do you think about that? I mean, my point is that
basically, I know in my situation with a family member, they're not admitting that there's something wrong with them. The problem is with us. Well, you're crazy. You're the crazy one.
Right.
So them sending him a letter, he probably said the same thing, and he just blew it off and never would return. Why would he?
That's the scary
now,
part.
If he was irate and the security guards or something had to remove him from the premises or something of the property, I mean, there was something wrong at that point. all it would have to take is that security guard or the teacher say, hey, this is what he did, this is what he was cursing, this is what he was doing. I don't know what he did that day, but obviously he did some type of disruption in the class.
No, but you raise a really good point, which is the school officials didn't send a letter to the parents. Of course, at this point in time, he's an adult, you know, so they didn't send it to the parents. So who do they? You raise a great point. Who are they going to send it to? They sent it to him.
So what is that going to do? They shouldn't even send a letter. At that moment where there's a problem, it should be addressed at that moment. If he goes down, the teacher, whoever, they sign a petition, the court will call the local police department.
Sure.
They know where he's at or something, or especially if they held him or not, you know,
or
on the premises. Come and pick him up. Take him down and see what happens, you know.
And
that's how the system works.
Well, obviously that's not how it worked. That's how it should work.
People are not aware of this. And if you would have asked me 3 years ago, I would have said, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But all I know is you get the petition going in the hospital. They go in front of a mental court system. In my case with the family member, for 1 year he was on court order treatment, mandatory by the state of Arizona. He had to receive treatment. And at that point, he's not allowed to buy firearms or own a possession of guns.
Let me ask you this, because we only have a few minutes left, but let me ask you this, because I think it's a great help to the listening audience. You just went through this process, you told us, right?
Yes, in the past 2.5 years, yes.
Tell us, if somebody sees somebody walking the streets or in contact with somebody that they think is off, okay, and they're walking around, okay, what do they do? Tell the listening audience what you had to do.
I probably would just call 911 and say, this is where I'm at. Watching this person acting irrational, doing something, yelling at cars, whatever it might be, and let them come down and see. And these police officers now, I think, more aware of this. I mean, I know the few times they've come to my house, I know that...
Well, what did you do? You actually went to the court and filed your own petition?
Yeah, they went downtown. There's places you go to fill this out.
Right. So you didn't call the police.
A whole form.
You didn't call the police because.
No, I had to call the police. Yeah.
Oh, you did.
A few occasions because of the.
But they didn't commit the person. But they didn't commit the person.
Oh yes, they basically take them in. They held them. Police held them. Stayed in my house for probably 3 hours until we had a chance to go down to the city, file a petition, get it approved. Come back. They got call from the superior offices. Come haul this person down here to UPC. He's going to be evaluated.
All right.
They then held him for 48 hours for evaluation. From there, they went to a behavioral hospital locally.
Where they were evaluated?
No, they get evaluated at UPC.
I see.
And they realized that they were off, and then they went down. They get them sent to the local hospital for a little long-term you know, evaluation by psychiatrist and staff, and then receive treatment that they need.
So I guess the answer to all of this is, and it's just incredible that it didn't happen, but now that we know what happened, your point is you see somebody like a Jared Loftner who's creating a problem, you don't send letters, you call the police. That's your point.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
There's crisis teams out there that could help out and the police, and they do have people that are specialized with people with mental illness, and I forget what the abbreviation is, but I did know it a year ago, but I forgot what it is now.
I mean, you know, obviously one has to wonder if that had happened here with Jared Loftner, and he had been committed, obviously, you know, would any of the shootings occurred? Would he still be under commitment or what? But, you know, that's all speculation. Nobody obviously knows. But
absolutely, yeah. I mean, everybody has their own version of a mental illness problem of some sort that would have to be sorted out. I don't know anything about the person other than what I've seen on the media.
Okay. Well, listen, Tom, thanks a lot. Your call was very helpful. I appreciate your call, and I'm sure our listening audience does as well. So we'll be picking up this topic again in the future, because obviously it's a major issue that has to be solved. So thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time here this week, so this point in time, we really don't have a lot of time for other stories, but we'll pick up these topics next week because obviously there's a lot of walking wounded, and it's important to know what the legal system's doing about it. It's almost 5 o'clock, which means that's it for today. This is your host, Dennis Wolinchek, signing off for this week. We'll be back next Wednesday from 4 to 5. Please check out our webpage. It's under legalese. And we'll be back next week to talk to you about other topics.
Is there really an energy shortage? Tune in Thursday night at 8 p.m. for the Renewable Power Hour, where host Jason Leopold will apply his degree in engineering to the question, how will we power the future? The Renewable Power Hour, Thursday at 8 p.m.
There's a new game in town, Dorf on Sports. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. brought to you by azcasino.com. Log in and win or call 888-333-PLAY. Dorf on Sports, Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Tired of losing money in the markets? Tired of watching your retirement savings go down by the day? I'm Dr. Ron Kasky. I'm your safe money doctor. I can stop your losses, help you capture the upside of the stock market with no downside risk, sometimes give you a 10% bonus up front with a 10% guarantee on the income value on the backside. We need to talk toll free, 877-218-1972, 877-218-1972. Call me today.
A child is taken, but there is hope through the Arizona Amber Alert. An Amber Alert provides the public with information that could lead to the safe recovery of a child. When a child is missing, everyone plays an important role. To learn more about the details of a specific Amber Alert, dial 511 or go to azamberalert.org. Together, we can all help save a child. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. It's